us is going to say the date, and I guess it's me.
Today, it's always you.
It's October 9th, 2018, and we're here with your week's news.
And we turned the air conditioner off, so maybe it's quieter.
Maybe it's quieter, but it is. It's not toasty, but it's like that air of mugginess is seeping in through the brick.
It's accelerating. If we look more uncomfortable than usual, that's why.
It's because we haven't OD'd on red pills. By the way, is about the Matrix and not anything else. Let's just be clear about that.
Krista thinks it's about right-wing ideology.
I think some other people probably thought that as well.
But that's where that comes from. You get it?
I know.
You didn't know before. All right. Well, other things.
Why do those people have to ruin everything? Jesus.
Because they're proving how ridiculous the current, you know, like when you turn hand signals and frogs and stuff into white supremacy symbols, you're just proving how easy it is. The latest one, I didn't catch on, but I really hoped it would, was let's make skeletons a white supremacy symbol for Halloween.
The skeleton war. How great would that be? Because
people would have them on their porches and stuff. But that has nothing to do with the big story this week, which is it was a huge story and then it wasn't and then nobody knew. And still, who can say? No one is sure.
The Bloomberg broke the story, the big hat, how a tiny chip that China used to infiltrate U.S. companies. So the thing is that this chip gets inserted in servers surreptitiously and they can be controlled. They become zombies.
The article I saw compared it to like the size of a pencil tip.
Like, yeah, it looks like a signal conditioning chip. It's very tiny, but supposedly it has enough memory and power to call home and modify things. This was the Supermicro was supposedly their target. Now, Supermicro, even according to Bloomberg, didn't know that they had been targeted. Or at least you would assume they didn't. But they had their stuff assembled in China. Supposedly, it came back with this extra little chip. Nobody bothered to look for it. But here's the weird thing, the very weird thing. Oh, and Bloomberg also talked about they have a portal on their Supermicro portal that was distributing malware that was supposed to work in conjunction with this little guy. But here's where it gets weird.
It just keeps getting weirder. So let's just go through all the articles at once.
I know we have to pause and talk about why it's weird at this stage of it. First of all, Apple, they were the first to speak out because supposedly...
Apple's also targeted.
This, well, they bought some Supermicro stuff.
Okay.
So we knew from records that Apple had Supermicro in-house. I was like, oh my God, is Apple, are they compromised? Well, they said no.
They don't know what's going on.
What's going on, Apple? What's going on?
BuzzFeed News.
Why is this...
So, yeah, they say, I don't know if something like this even exists. It's like, bro, I couldn't tell you. So it makes sense, I suppose, even if Apple was guilty, they wouldn't want to admit it. I mean, think about, you know, Intel and their shenanigans.
It would probably be a national security incident.
It definitely would. But they said, you know what? We did buy some Supermicro servers. They were not used on any of our iCloud or anything like that. We used them internally here in the office. We found this in 2015. Oddly enough, they didn't tell anybody. And we got rid of them. Yeah. So that was Apple's story. It was also said that Amazon got some of these machines. They said no, certainly not. They weren't using Supermicro. They knew nothing about this. And then the government's chipped in.
The GCHQ and U.S. officials have cast doubt on this. And it's like, oh, no, we don't have this.
So the government saying, I think we would know if this was the case. And it's not true. So
isn't this such a bizarre story? So bizarre.
Well, what was the Bloomberg article said? So they had, what, seven sources?
Yeah.
Seven in the government. But that last story talked about how the, you know, people from the NSA and the Alphabet agencies came forward and they were like, no, I don't know who's telling you this. I would like to know because we want to have a conversation with them.
Definitely not break their kneecaps. Only talk. Yeah. We just want to chat.
And I think Supermicro, I don't know, they weren't very committal about it, but they also basically said, you know, this is not.
A lot of aspects of this seem like a hit piece against Supermicro, which is a relatively American company.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody thought they were colluding.
Yeah.
They were also victims. So it does. It's a lot of fear mongering.
Now is a better time than ever to invest in Supermicro.
Well, maybe. I've heard a lot of people have this investing strategy of the anti-outrage investment. So they wait for something like, you know, like the Tesla thing to happen, like when Musk smoked the joint, and then they invest right after that dip and catch it when it comes, like reality sets back in. Or, you know, like any of these big companies that have some sort of scandal with the SJW stuff, as soon as that dip hits, they buy it and then ride it back up.
We've got the market data. We should run the algorithm on that and see what sort of theoretical profit.
Oh, there's apparently a lot of returns on that. But getting back to the Bloomberg story, TechCrunch weighed in on it, and they said that they've covered stuff like this before, and it turns out you can't get the truth.
It turns out the government is actually very large and complicated, and so when one person in the government tells you one thing, that doesn't necessarily mean anything on behalf of all of the government.
Which should surprise no one, but...
Now, in this situation, you always ask who benefits, right? I'm not sure who benefits. Maybe just someone who wants us to fear China?
Chaos is a ladder. Someone's trying to climb the ladder right now, but we don't know what's going on.
So, I mean, theoretically, like, let's speak in hypotheticals and you know, theoretically, something like this could exist. It is possible to do something that's like six pins that sits on like the system management bus or as part of the baseband management controller and has the capabilities ascribed here.
Especially if you're getting those compromised drivers, like they were talking about from the portal.
And I think that, I mean, we've done work in the payment card industry and definitely like credit card processing equipment and stuff like that that comes from China. You would be surprised at the level of sophistication that exists in the hacks in those machines. I mean, there's one group that I read about online that uses an angular momentum, a lab device that measures the angular momentum of their credit card processors, and they have a known good one that has not been backdoored. And so they measure how the credit card processor moves at different angles to measure its inertia to know if the inside of it has been compromised. Because they can't just take it apart because it has anti-tamper mechanisms because it's so important because credit card processing. But at the factory, you get the idea that it's a problem that somebody could be, you know, slipped a couple of $100 and they'll add something to your credit card processing equipment. So in terms of like supply chain attacks and this kind of thing, it's good to have these conversations. Like we should be talking about this. This is stuff that we need to be worried about. But in terms of like a state agency, you know, backdooring these kind of things, you don't even need a separate IC. Like if your UEFI lives on an EEPROM and the goal is to deliver a backdoored EEPROM, you could just replace the entire EEPROM chip with a compromised EEPROM chip that has two different sets of memory, a good one and one where it lies to you. And that would be undetectable. Like that, there would not actually be any extra hardware in that scenario.
Your butt looks fine in those jeans. That's how it lies to you.
On the other hand, though, the Apple story, they did admit the 2015 thing.
Yeah.
So why did Apple get rid of Supermicro servers in 2015? If not this. And they did also confirm they found a bug on the driver portal, but it wasn't this, they said. It was something else.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. Maybe even Bloomberg was an unknowing, you know, player here. And these seven sources in the government got together and they were like, hey.
Let's have some fun.
Let's take this minimal truth that we know about this and smear China.
You know, another thing that came up is Google. Google, a couple of years ago, had a similar report from their data centers that they were looking into incorporating their own proprietary security chip to verify firmwares. And it was the same way that these baseband management controllers are out of band. Google's thing was out of band because they were worried about supply chain compromises.
I don't know if that would catch this. I mean, it would catch the bad drivers and stuff and the bad firmware. But supposedly the chip itself, the way that they found it was actually like taking the specs of the boards and going over them. And it's like, oh, it says there's 20 signal conditioning chips here, but there's 21.
One of them is evil.
That's
which one is the evil one?
That's weird. So, yeah, that's a story that got a lot of attention and it was a big headline. Got a lot of clicks, I'm sure, but might not be true.
There's and more than the story always.
And so Bloomberg, they were getting all that attention, and the motherboard was like, hey, wait, look what we can do as well.
So Apple's new proprietary software will kill independent repair on the new MacBook Pros, except it doesn't yet. It's just a theoretical capability, because remember the new T2 chip, the new security chip, and Apple's proprietary SSD nonsense? Well, it turns out that the same way that you know, those there were those screen repairs where you repaired your screen and then you updated iOS and then your screen stopped working because it was not an authorized repair. It turns out that that kind of functionality is being built into the laptops as well.
Except I fixed it, tested it, and they couldn't get it to break. They replaced everything. This was supposedly from a leak of internal training documents. So it may just be that it's not been turned on yet.
Yeah. And like the iPhone thing.
It could also be that because of this backlash, it'll never get turned on. And they were going to do it, but now they're like, well, you know what? Let's not do that.
Let's just wait a couple patches when everyone's forgotten about it. And then.
Yeah. Or make them seem crazy, you know?
It's like, oh, that never happened.
We would never do that.
It's called gaslighting. Happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
So they might just be, you know, playing 4D chess. But you know who's not playing 4D chess? I might be playing a game of checkers as Mr. Elon Musk.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Securities and Exchange Commission.
No. Well, no, I think it's
Musk. No, I think they're it's his move at this point. Well, it was his move, and he flipped the board over and walked away.
A U.S. judge has asked Musk and the SEC to justify the fraud settlement as fair and reasonable. So this is the $20 million he will step down. Thing.
But gets to be CEO.
Yeah, he just steps down as chairman.
So this judge is saying, this is a little light. Why? Prove to me that this is in everybody's interest, that we're basically slapping him on the wrist.
And judge thinks it's light? It is pretty light compared to what he did.
I mean, the $20 million tweet, I mean, if we had like $3 million, we could probably take over the world. So like $20 million fine for the SEC for a tweet? That just seems excessive.
So they have until Thursday to prove both the you know, the SEC and the board, that this is a good settlement, that this makes sense for everybody. And part of that settlement, you will remember, of course, was the team. We talked about this, Wendell. Like,
yeah.
How would you operate if we got to review all of your tweets?
You guys would be too slow.
And tie them up. That's what I'm saying.
Well, like, Musk has to have someone monitoring his tweets at all times.
Yes. And the reason for that is this.
But let's say...
Well, this came before this happened.
Yeah, yeah. This is in order of time. But let's say that, okay, there's a ruling coming down that there's going to be a team that has to approve your tweets because you are so destructive with your tweeting. What would you do then? You know, maybe take a little break?
Yeah, probably try not to tweet for a while.
Have some self-reflection.
Yeah. So Elon Musk has mocked the SEC as the Short Seller Enrichment Commission days after settling those fraud... Well, it's not really settled because the judge might not okay it, but it's right. Settled.
I mean, it literally
SEC.
Was well, right
this,
after, though.
This is in response to the judge's decision that they might not settle it.
Now,
so,
I think Elon Musk is within his First Amendment rights to call it the Short Seller Enrichment Commission.
Oh, absolutely.
Has this nothing to do with the stock price.
This is not a crime. You know what else?
It is an idiot move, but it's not a crime.
Another thing that you're allowed to do constitutionally is to drape yourself with partially expired meats and wander through bear country in Yellowstone. You're allowed to do that. All right.
I can see a bear is a dead bear, though. I can see that the two are related in this case.
Yeah, so.
I saw the tweet and I was reading the comments on the tweet as they were happening, and there were some people who were like, Elon, please stop. Like, I've invested my life savings in your company and I've lost so much money.
And they're not even sad. I don't think they're trolling because they're like, I want to believe.
Yeah. But like, I'm losing. Smiles, I want to believe.
If you had, you know, timed it even remotely right and caught the wave of, you know, the short selling, that he's overall given the short sellers about $500 million with his tweets.
And yet no self-reflection there to think, maybe I should stop doing this.
Well, I mean, that's probably what precipitated the whole funding secured tweet, because he's like, no, they're winning, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It came out in the investigation that he actually did come up with that number as a drug reference because he thought it would amuse his girlfriend.
I mean, again.
I remember that, but I thought that was the article author saying that like they were speculating that that's what that was.
No, that was it. Well, I mean, maybe the SEC was speculating, but that was in the paper.
Elon, you are just like, we should just call this the level one Elon segment because it's going to be every week.
Yeah.
Every week. It's like, what's Elon up to this week?
Elon or Facebook?
You know, he needs a YouTube channel.
And there are those, we're going to get a lot of noise from the apologists this week, as we often do. They are a vociferous bunch. They will defend him no matter what he does. And this story, unfortunately, is going to sort of galvanize their position.
Because, this is crappy.
Yeah. It's like starting to think some of those apologists might be right in at least some cases.
In some capacity,
Just because one side is wrong doesn't mean the other side is right.
A broken clock is right twice a day? Is that...
Yeah.
So the headline here is a shadowy op-ed campaign is now smearing SpaceX and space cities. And it is apparently authored by an ex-Apollo astronaut that's saying, oh my gosh, the way that they're doing the fueling here, this cost us a bunch of lives. We killed people when I was at NASA, is basically what the article says. But they tracked down the guy that wrote it, and he's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Except he didn't actually write it, right?
Yeah. Turns out it was a PR agency, and this speculates that it was probably Boeing that's running this. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun.
And Boeing has no stakes.
So, oh, I mean, yeah. Space travel, or I mean, they're looking out the best interests, really.
We need to point out that space cities here refers to cities which you launch rockets from, not cities in space.
In case you had like just a moment of confusion.
Good job, Ars Technica article author.
It might have been the editor who declared the title. Either way, a good job.
Well, we've looked at four different stories that have made possibly erroneous charges this week. And our fifth story also includes erroneous charges.
The iPhone XS and XS Max devices are experiencing charging issues. I think Apple has already fixed this in the beta.
There's a beta update that you can get voluntarily. But if you don't, and your phone is not awake when you plug in the charger, it may not charge.
Frankly, you're just charging it wrong.
Yeah, you are doing it incorrectly.
Get good. It just works.
But a little embarrassing. How do you not catch that? I mean, I guess every time, if you're a developer... When would you ever plug it in when it's not turned on or, you know, awake, right?
Especially if you've got the dread pirate Tim Roberts breathing down your neck being like, or Tim Cook. I don't know.
How would you not notice it, though? Because at some point it would have to turn off and like...
No, they're just like, no, we got to get...
No, I don't think... I think it's not that it stops charging when it goes to sleep. It's just you must initiate the charging while it's awake. So if you're a developer, you would never plug it in while it's asleep. That makes
sense.
You
might, though. Like, if you go to lunch or something, you left it on, it's like, oh, I need to charge it for a little bit.
Wendell, every time you pick up your phone...
It's already on.
You check Twitter.
Yep.
Or you text message or something. You never plug it in
yep.
when it's not awake. I
yep.
guarantee it.
Yep.
You're a normie, Krista.
I am a normie, I guess. I'm like, oh, I need to charge this, and then I'll forget about it. I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot to charge it. And then I'll
well, here's another story that may excite the normies. Mm.
Microsoft announces app mirroring to let you use any Android app on Windows 10. I've tried it. It's not that great.
It's also a little... That headline's misleading. It's not... It's only a couple of apps.
Yeah. It's literally two.
Mail and text, right?
Yeah, they're planning to open it up a little bit more. Photos. I think it'll bring in photos and text messages. I mean, you know, welcome to 2012. Finally. Yeah. You know, when Microsoft could do it before with, like, Cortana, but it was bullshit. And, even now, you still have to have a Microsoft account for it to like do its thing, even though it's kind of doing it over Wi-Fi instead of hitting the cloud. At least I hope it's not hitting the cloud, because that would be really dumb. But it really should not work the way that it did with Cortana, and this is a step in the right direction to have it work
in a
not dumb way.
What about a magical future where you can continue your Pixel Dungeon game on the desktop?
We should have been there already. There's no reason that we shouldn't have been there except idiocy.
Well, I think the reason was the Microsoft phone.
Yeah, well,
oh.
And trying to get you to use cloud services when the cloud doesn't, I mean.
There's a blast from the past, the Microsoft phone.
We need to come up with a word for when, like, the marketing idiots are, like, trying to shoehorn cloud in places where it doesn't belong. It's like, I've got a light switch that I can turn the light on and off, and it's just mounted to the wall. It's like, we need to insert the cloud into this equation.
Cloudpository.
Like a suppository for right, cloud. Yeah. I like that. That is the appropriate response. That is so that which is why that's the perfect word.
Well, big news.
Sorry.
Wait, what? What did you call that?
It's an image you just don't want to see.
Do you hold a fart too long?
Yeah, like you shove the back it's like
oh, a cloud right.
suppository, yeah.
But then oftentimes it's just as loud going back in, and you're like, why did I even bother? It's ridiculous. Well, let's talk about Amazon. Another big story that broke just as we finished the news last week. Amazon and the $15 minimum wage.
Now, this is...
It's just, kind of good news. I mean, it's good news, sort of.
This is exactly the kind of thing that we're always like, level one news need to be longer. No, not really, no. To be able to talk about these things more properly, because a lot of the people in the audience are like, this is really good. It's a higher minimum wage. It's great. Blah, blah, blah. But there is actually a terrible downside here that most people are not reporting on.
Let's just think back. Both Bernie and Trump congratulated Bezos and said, you're doing God's work. This is a wonderful thing.
They agreed on something.
So before we talk about this part of it, though, let's talk about the evil genius that is Jeff Bezos, right? Without even knowing this next story, and I'm not showing you this story on the screen because we didn't bother to put the minimum wage one in because it leads into this, but here's what you might not know about the $15 minimum wage. Amazon is actually having trouble pulling in seasonal workers because they'd rather work closer to home at Target and Walmart. I think they pay $12 and $14 respectively, right? So we're coming up on the holiday season. It's time to start hiring. In order to take those workers away from Amazon, Walmart and Target started hiring early. So again, they played an early move that Bezos might not have expected. So what did he do? He shut them down in one swift motion. He pays more, and you know people are going to go to that, right?
Yes.
I mean, and especially if you're a seasonal worker. But how do you pay for it? That's the question. Who benefits and who loses?
So Amazon warehouse workers who are also getting this raise are losing their bonuses, the stock awards and raises, which Bernie and the other people did not consider when they were considering the Amazon compensation packages.
That stock is worth north of $2,000 per share.
Well, somebody that's been working at Amazon the past 3 or 4 years, if they held on to their stock, the stock would be hugely valuable. But
well, I'm saying like you get it this year.
Oh, right? Okay, yeah, yeah.
You get your bonus this year at it's like 2,200 shares, something like that. How many, and your raise was $2 an hour?
Yeah,
that's a lot of hours that are
making less
immediately now. Just stripped away. Yeah. Now, Bezos has said that he's going to compensate people who would be affected negatively by the raise, and they will still get more money overall. And supposedly, they're doing a different kind of stock thing. We've heard that from a questionable source inside Amazon, not from any official.
Slightly questionable.
No official channel. I like to imagine he's just going to send moon rocks.
That would be hugely valuable, though, because moon rocks are worth like $500,000, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or if you get a 22-pound meteorite, that's like $100,000. I mean, that's a lot of money. But yeah, in so doing this, I mean, it's good that the minimum wage inside Amazon is higher, but it's sort of malicious compliance. I mean, I guess that's good for the seasonal workers because they weren't eligible for stock.
Well, it's good. I think
just buy for headlines, right?
It's really good if you're just starting.
Yeah,
because you don't have to work your way up, and you aren't vested anyway, right? I think it takes 2 years to get the stock.
Yeah.
So those people benefited at the cost of the higher end workers, and part of this is bonuses. So if you're one of those like really hardcore, like, you know, got to pack them all kind of Amazon workers,
you're really good.
You could hit those monthly bonuses every month. I don't think there's a limit.
Mm.
So those people are really getting hit by this.
Mm. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. Like I can't wait for the level one follow-up story in like January where it's like, this is how it shook out for the holiday season.
Well, do you think what will happen is like, they'll look at their numbers and be like, all of our top performers are not performing well and all the new people aren't performing well, so we're just going to convert everything to robots.
Yeah.
Oh, he wants to desperately. Yeah. But
now he'll have an excuse and not feel as bad, I guess.
It's too difficult to organize all those robots for now. Yeah, we'll see. The other dirty secret that came out about Amazon this week, if you, you're shopping on Amazon and you think, well, I'm not buying directly from Amazon. I'm just, you know, they're just the marketplace. So I'm not giving them all my money. Well,
you're wrong.
Secret Amazon brands are quietly taking over Amazon.com.
I have not heard of these. Let me look at them here. Arabella, Larkin Rowe, May, New Pro, and Small Parts.
I want to say that Larkin Rowe might be a clothing brand. That sounds familiar because I was looking for t-shirts the other day and came across one and it was like, oh, this is for Amazon Prime members only. It's like an Amazon brand. And yeah. I was like, "What? When did that happen?"
But these aren't technically Amazon the same way that those startup delivery companies. Remember them? Not technically Amazon. In other words, we don't have to pay these people $15 an hour.
Yeah.
But Amazon does own them in some capacity. And there's a lot of worry that they're going to show preference to these brands because this is money directly in their pocket. But their competitors are going to be also using Amazon. So
that seems likely. But I think that also, I mean, if Amazon follows suit with the way that, you know, Fortune 1000 companies have followed, these wholly owned subsidiaries can take advantage of like labor practices and things like that, where if it comes out later, it's like, well, that wasn't us. That was our supplier.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, not only that, but they do those like, you know, this is the number one. This is the most popular choice on Amazon. If you do a search for like Amazon's lawnmower. Choice. Yeah. And these things, aren't they going to get special consideration? I mean, of course they will. So yeah. Now the big question from all of this is, what is Bezos going to do with all that money?
He's going to the moon, Alice.
I tried that last week and Krista doesn't know what that's about.
He's not going to the moon. He's shipping several metric tons of cargo to the moon. I like to imagine it's like his old college, you know, decorations or... You know, like
political enemies. Good luck with your police investigation onto the moon.
Yeah, I know a couple of people who would like to have their old college stuff shipped to the moon. So this is actually going to be supplies for future moon bases. It's an interesting thing about the moon because there was a 1967 treaty that said that no one can own anything in space. But then the U.S. later, recently, was like, you know what? That was a good idea then, but you know what? Now it's just like, if you're up there, go ahead and do whatever you want. Go ahead and start your moon bases. So I think actually there might be some Japanese companies that are thinking about doing that.
Yeah, we did a story about them a while back.
He is, he's definitely going to take their stuff up there and drop it off. Let them get started. I'm excited about a moon base future.
Would you go? Would you visit?
I wouldn't want to visit, no. If I was going to go, I'd want to go for like, you know, like those guys who went to Iraq and drove trucks. For like $300,000 a year because of the risk. Yeah.
Something like that.
I'll do like moon mine networking for 2 or 3 years and then just come home and retire. I'd do that. Yeah. That sounds decent. So good luck to Bezos. If he's not, if the torches and pitchforks don't get him by then, maybe we'll get a moon base. Well, here's a question. How dark is a future where your skills can be measured without any sort of testing.
They just scan your brain.
Or is that a good future? Because that means no more tests, you know.
But what do we do with the people who fail?
That's a question we have now, too. I guess they work at Waffle House? I don't...
This article on the Wall Street Journal, the headline is Brain Scans Can Detect Who Has Better Skills. The actual work that was done here is a bunch of neurosurgeons were brain scanned while they were doing surgery, not on people.
Well, they practice cutting very straight lines. So there's a test where they have some sort of medium where they cut it. And based on how, you know, the depth of the cut and the straightness of it and the speed at which they go, how steady they are, all that is very easy to measure. And they scan their brains while they were doing it. And it turned out the brain scans, the level of activity in a certain part of the brain, like the cutting center,
wherever that is,
matched up very well with the results.
I feel like that there's tons of dystopian science fiction where they put the brain scan on the thing and like the 70-year-old and it's like, congratulations, Timmy, you're going to be a plumber. And he's like, I don't want to be a plumber. I want to be a politician.
How terrible if you are perfectly suited for something you hate.
Maybe the Harry Potter universe is actually very technologically advanced because like, don't they have the sorting hat?
The sorting hat is kind of BS as an adult. It's like, Harry wills himself into Gryffindor. He was supposed to be Slytherin. So and then he's like, I don't want to be in Slytherin.
So we're going to have to build some human rights in the technology is what you're saying. That if little Timmy's concentrating real hard on being a plumber, the technology's like, well, I guess we can let you be a mediocre plumber.
Could that be a self-fulfilling prophecy where... The effort you go into to beat the test tricks your brain increasing activity in that?
Yeah, it turns out there's this thing called neuroplasticity where like your brain will adapt to the situation that it's in. So it's this evolutionary force for millions of years.
That's how I'm not dead from lack of sleep.
You know, the brain scan thing could just as well be this person has worked harder to become a surgeon versus this person has, you know, the better natural ability.
Well, see, we could find that out because we start testing them right, you know, before they go into any kind of training.
They're immediately going to do that for programmers. It's like, this guy's a poser. This guy's a poser.
That would be true. That would be like simultaneously the greatest thing to happen to the industry and also just a mass wave of unemployment.
This guy's just here to try to collect a paycheck and doesn't actually have any talent at all.
So they're quick to point out, it's like, now we know how scary and dystopian this is, but we would only do it for surgeons and pilots and, you know, bus drivers and things like that.
And 12-year-old school kids going to boarding school. Yeah.
And eventually plumbers and electricians and
Fulfillment center workers, probably, eventually. You know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Your sorting ability is too low.
It turns out your brainstem is perfect for us to insert this shunt into it. You're going to be experiencing just pure bliss. Meanwhile, the robot is going to control your body to actually pack and sort our packages.
dark times, time, right? Especially if you're a young student. You're trying to find your way in this horrific world where things are happening. But there is a silver lining for you.
No cash needed at this cafe. Students pay the tab with their personal data.
I feel like that anybody that's been watching this program for any amount of time is already just doubled over with laughter, because this is literally a cafe on a campus where college students, they don't pay money. They pay with something else.
Their names? Yeah, they're like that's terrifying.
Oh, it's
like,
not. It's, they fill out a pretty exhaustive questionnaire. And it's, you know, their preferences and all of their personal info and all that stuff. I think like their credit score and stuff like that.
Wow.
So
that's insane. All of that. That's insanity.
Is it though? I mean, your data has a lot of value in aggregate, but personally, each of our data isn't really, like, we can't sell it. There's no market for it, right? If you could trade it for free coffee.
They're going to get and leak your data on the internet anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're not making any bones about that. Your data is immediately sold. Immediately. And they will advertise to you based on all of that. So you are totally...
What's not to love?
But you get that sweet free coffee, man. I wonder, this story did not...
like a dollar.
Oh, no, this, look at this place. This is like a $5 a cup kind of place. That's why. Especially if you get the caramel macchiato.
So, oh, yeah, you can't just get the garbage stuff. You can't just get a black coffee.
The other thing I wonder about that is there a limit, right? Because they're keeping track of who you are.
Yeah, there's no way you can. How much data do they want each time?
Well, it's, you can't give them more data every time. You know, I mean, eventually that's blood from a stone. You know, it's like, well, I went to the bathroom 4 times yesterday. Okay, that's something new. But, you know, if I went in there and I was like, give me 20 muffins, you know, is my data worth 20 muffins? What if I do that every day? There's got to be a limit.
We need to push it to the limit.
How do you know that reference?
I just do. I don't know other important references, but I know that one.
Well, you know, it's been a week of big announcements, and some of which were failures, and Microsoft decided they needed it on that action as well.
Now, remember, Microsoft fired all their testers about 4 years ago, and Windows 10 just had this major October 2018 update, and it's deleting a lot of user data. So your documents folder and stuff, if you change to like where that is, there's a good chance that the update is just going to delete it. It's just, your stuff's just gone. And because they turned off shadow copy, because they're horrible, terrible, terrible people, because shadow copy is a thing in Windows 7, and in Windows 10, they turned off shadow copy. And you can kind of like force, like hack it back on, but it's the shadow of its former self.
Or not. So they have said, you know what, you guys, people were reporting this and Microsoft was sort of not saying anything about it, but it got to the point where enough people had confirmed it and there were videos about it and stuff. So Microsoft was like, you know what, we're just going to undo that.
It's fine.
They actually even announced today via Twitter that you could call support and support will help you recover the files that have been deleted. So I called support, and they were like, what are you even talking about?
Do you think they were angry? Like, how many calls do you think they've gotten about this thing on Twitter?
Hundreds, probably thousands.
I don't think the PR team coordinated with support.
Yeah.
When they made that announcement. I can't imagine a world where they would not do that. Yeah.
Now, that was on Sunday, for those of you watching at home. So I don't know. Like, by Tuesday, maybe they're clued in. Maybe there's a fix, but kind of doubt it.
Now, this next article, it says it was written by Carl Bode. But this is clearly, I know this man's work. This is Captain Obvious.
Captain Obvious has been doing some like commercials on TV lately. I don't know. The headline is: Report finds U.S. wireless video streaming utterly mediocre thanks to arbitrary carrier throttling. Yeah, so if you watch Netflix on a mobile phone, you are probably experiencing YouTube as it was circa 2006. So, you know, 360p.
Back when it first launched.
Yeah, I
juttery
think,
mess.
Did it come out in 2007?
Yeah.
But they make...
It's fine.
They don't even pretend that you're going to get more than 480 with most of those plans.
Yeah.
If you read the fine print.
Yeah.
So, on a small device, maybe you don't notice, but I don't know. The pixels get pretty big on a modern phone at 480.
Turns out people feel like that's ripping them off. I can't say that I disagree.
Yeah, and I do not consume media on my phone. But it seems, I mean, the more and more the world is going that way. So, yeah.
I think that AT&T and Verizon and stuff are not upgrading their networks fast enough, especially given their profit margins. I mean, if you look at how much profit... It's like a water company. It's like, oh, the water company made $4 trillion this year. And it's like, what? All they do is sell water. The communications company just sells communications. That should not be a high-margin industry. It shouldn't. Sorry. It should.
Well, you, sir, have no place on the FCC. You've just made it clear. Well, mobile media, you know, I might be missing the boat there. I might be too old. But you know who loves their mobile devices? The Chinese. And it's gotten to the point where it's a little bit of a problem. And they're having to come up with some interesting fixes to try and keep the children off those mobile devices.
So Tencent, which is a big, you know, company that does a lot of stuff.
They have way more than just like digital stuff too.
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
recently learned that like a hotel. They had a hotel.
Yeah. They're,
it's common in China, isn't it? Where companies invest in hotels and real estate.
Yeah.
Like, along with their other stuff.
You got to diversify. It's a big thing. But yeah, so Honor of Kings is really big. It's a really big mobile game. And, you know, there are restrictions on how much, how long kids can play. And so it's a problem because as a kid, because you have a lot of time in your hand, oh, I'll just create four or five accounts, play on each one of those. They're starting to employ face recognition to try to stop the kids from doing
stop
that.
Stop the smurfing problem.
No, it's not smurfing.
Yeah, I know.
It's just
they just don't want kids on there all day.
They pass some kind of law because it is just, it's a real huge problem. And we talked about last week, Fortnite has been cited in over 200 divorces now.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. So it's that kind of addiction. Actually, I think it's probably a little bit worse for the Chinese mobile stuff. So you can imagine the way that Fortnite is treated here. We actually got a nonsense story about that this week as well.
The monetization algorithm did not like something in that episode. I don't know what it was, but it was something.
Oh, I think I know what it was.
Well, don't mention it, for God's sake.
It was the...
You'll have to go watch it. You'll have to go find it because you didn't even get notified about it.
It was the username. I remember what that was. I know. We put this story in here. This is the gaming section, in case you didn't notice. We've transitioned. This story, I've never heard of this game.
I hadn't heard
but
of this game
either. This is just another cautionary tale. We like to do these every once in a while about being careful what you back with crowdfunding.
Limit Theory has been canceled 6 years after Kickstarter. So it collected $185,000 from Kickstarter. But the guy's been working on it 6 years, so I don't know that...
But
I mean,
it's never going to be released. He's going to release the source code, right. But he's not releasing it himself.
It's a cautionary tale, but... The cautionary part is that they overpromise and underdeliver.
This guy...
But he tried. Oh, he tried.
Therefore, no one should criticize him.
I don't know what he put into this game in terms of, you know, like assets and stuff like that, but he probably lived on 20 or 30 grand a year, you know.
Maybe less.
Could be, but the problem is... No one gets anything out of it except him.
Yeah.
Like, he got a fun little adventure, found his limitations. No, it turns out he can't do this. Now, he is going to release the source code, but it's not functional at all.
I guess so. I'll reserve judgment until I get to the source code. And if I get to the source code and it's like, hello world, going to be super disappointed.
I think
he just copied and pasted a bunch of Unity assets and said, okay, for 6 years.
I think... Small individual pieces of it work, but there is no cohesive game.
No gameplay mechanic. Really.
That's the problem.
Maybe the community can get together and fix it.
But you need someone to come up with, like, you can't just have a bunch of assets and like a bunch of cool settings. It has to have a gameplay mechanic. And if that core isn't there.
It was going to be like Star Citizen, I think. Like open world space.
Wow, one guy doing... That's even more ambitious than one guy doing his own operating system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... This next story, listen, if this turns out to be some kind of hoax or fake news or whatever, don't correct us because I find it very difficult to believe. Twin Galaxies, I guess that's the arcade people, right? I think they confirm all of the like world records and all that stuff. So they're somewhat legitimate as far as I know. But this, I can't.
We really should have put this in the nonsense section, but we'll give you a laugh. We'll give you a laugh send off. KFC, as in Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, but they're
not. Just take KFC. Your hat off for the Colonel.
Yeah. They took out the Press actual F. meaning.
They have a new gaming division named KFC Gaming. And you read this article, and the only thing I was thinking there the entire time was, one, you're a little late. PUBG is off of its, you know, it's
declining.
It's off of its apogee. It's
well, you got to mention that winner chicken dinner seems to be the only idea that they have so far. They're like... We serve chicken, and that's popular in video games, right? Right? We're a marketing department.
Seems like a slam dunk. I mean, how do you not?
So it might be that they're not making a game, but they're just like getting involved in esports or something like that. Capacity. I don't know. Maybe they're going to have a team.
What if they, I'm imagining, you know those like really intense esports sections with, what is it, like Heroes or Heroes of the Storm or something? I have like it's like in a big arena with the giant TVs.
All of the Blizzard esports are like that because Overwatch is the same way.
StarCraft does that, and
so it's like round one is over, and then like all these girls in KFC bikinis come out, you know, with the chicken buckets, and it's like here, have your chicken, you know.
You know, it'd be great if they had one of those air cannons, and they just launched like a four piece, just blasting chicken parts into the audience.
We need to file a patent on a sabot that contains all of the components of a chicken dinner so they can load it into the air cannon. And then when they launch it at whoever, it securely holds all of the piece, like, you know, you got a chicken leg and, you know, like the breast or the wings or the thigh or whatever, and like the gravy. And
I'm just imagining mashed potatoes just like.
No, see, I don't think you could do the sides, but I like the idea. Of the chicken just going wherever, you know? you're just blasting chicken to the audience with no concern about cohesion. You know, maybe you get a whole leg, maybe you just get a strip of skin. You know?
Who can say?
The fates will decide. Oh. And like, have you ever seen when somebody hits a home run, people fighting over the baseball? Imagine a crowd of neats watching League of Legends. Fighting over a three-piece that just landed on the floor. Oh, that would be so good.
And with that, we will see you tomorrow for more news. And if you didn't catch it, we did a live stream on Monday because there was some hardware news. So, burn.